relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is not going to happen, and it's not going to not happen on its own, though. What I've been encouraging people to do this weekend is we need to be out in the streets. We need to be in front of the local offices in your states where the U.S. senators have their local offices. We need protests out there every single day.
I apologize, dear friends. Do not adjust your sets. That was indeed Michael Moore. I try not to open every hour with Michael Moore, but he is emblematic of the messages broadcast across the media and social media this weekend since Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing. They wish to protest. They say they will burn the Supreme Court down. Let's find out whether any of that is actually to be believed with senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University's Professor Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Case for Trump. Professor, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
We see a panoply of possible scenarios in the next 42 days. I've read out earlier in the last hour how many multiple Supreme Court nominees were not only nominated but also confirmed in less than 45 days in America's history. Are these promises of violence empty threats, or are we to expect the president to nominate and confirm, and there also to be even more violence in America?
Well, I think he's going to nominate. I think it'll be confirmed. It'll be close because of some renegade Republicans. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says Joe Biden rule or Mitch McConnell rule. It just don't exist. And those are just names for strategies about whether a president can have a hard or easy time in his election year or his last year, depending on whether he controls the Senate or not. So those are just strategies. They don't mean anything. And Trump, unlike Obama in 2016, has a majority in the Senate, so he's going to move ahead. A lot of that Michael Moore braggadocio is just anger at himself, at other Democrats, because you and I wouldn't be talking about this had they won the Senate in 2014. They had another chance in 2016. They had another chance in 2018. Or, contrarily, if Harry Reid had not blown up the filibuster on judicial appointments in 2013, we wouldn't be talking because the Republicans could never get that through. They would need 60 votes. Or if Ruth Bader Ginsburg did what David Souter or Day O'Connell did or Anthony Kennedy, usually when you have an ideological affinity in the White House and you are tired, you're burned out, you're ill, you think you're too old, you just want to break. You retire under those ideological synonymous circumstances. I don't know why in 2013 and 14, a reelected Barack Obama with a majority in the Senate did not ask her to resign, or maybe he did, or to retire, whatever term we use. Had she done it, they would have had a hard left pick. And they chose none of those three. They were not able to attain any of those three options, and now they're angry at themselves and the situation. And when Michael Moore says we're going to get out on the street, what more can he do? I mean, we've had murder, we've had violence, we've had arson, we've had looting, we've had every type of statue toppling. We've had military officers come out and almost hint there should be a coup. We've had everything. So I think a lot of it is sort of the same old talk, and it'll be done with in the same old reaction.
Now, I may be simply missing some deeper reason, or simply it's just naivete. But to me, all of this screaming and this belly aching about you can't do it now, 42 days before an election. Well, it's transparent to me that that's simply because they think that they get to pick their left-wing associate justice if Biden and Harris win. To me, that seems to be just transparently hypocritical, transparently political and cynical. Am I missing something? Does the average voter not see that, Professor? And if they do see how transparently political these protestations are, doesn't that benefit the president's case at the polling stations in 42 days' time?
I think it does. I think that both parties have a different view of that circus that surrounded Kavanaugh. The Democrats said, well, we were gross and uncouth, but we energized our base and took the House. The Republicans said, you so appalled the nation that we even picked up two seats in the Senate and kept it. And both are going to, we're going to see a replay of it, and may the best party win. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think the Republicans are saying, we have a list of judicial nominations. That was our signature brand with the Trump presidency. We have two. We're going to have three. And they're going to say, why doesn't Biden offer an alternate list of judicial nominees? Why doesn't he lobby the Republicans in the Senate? And may the best man win. But they can't do that. Every time they start to lose, they look for a structural change or some way to change the rules, or to say the Constitution doesn't mean what it says. And wait till they win, if they do win, excuse me, and they win the Senate, the first thing they do will get rid of the filibuster. The second thing they do will add six justices to the court, which is not specified the number in the Constitution. The third thing they do, they'll move on the state legislatures with a national compact to get rid of the Electoral College. The fourth thing they will do will try to put Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., and get another four senators. And probably the fifth or sixth thing will be to have a national change in eligibility that will supersede states' voting protocols and have 16-year-olds to vote, as well as ex-felons. So they're looking at structural changes because the present constitutional system has not been as beneficial to them as they would like.
And Professor, what is your estimate for why Joe Biden seems so reticent to release any list of his potential candidates for the Supreme Court?
Well, he's made a Faustian bargain, and the bargain was that if AOC and Bernie Sanders and that hard left group in the primaries would rally behind him, then he would promote a radical social agenda, and he appointed Kamala Harris and kept his word, and then they in exchange would tell the military wing of the Democratic Party, keep it up, basically, but Antifa and BLM will cool it when Trump's not president any longer. And part of that bargain was that Joe Biden would be an empty vessel that would pose as a centrist. So we know what his list would entail. It would have some pretty wacky, hard left, ACLU to the eighth degree nominees, and he can't release it because people would see it. If he releases a bunch of moderates that would be in tune with his supposed centrism, then the left would go ballistic. So he's not going to list, I don't think he's going to list anybody.
And your response to the president's early seeming acquiescence to identity politics, saying he is not only going to nominate somebody potentially by Friday or Saturday, but it will be a woman. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? And can't he just change his mind in the next 7 days?
Well, I think he can, but I think what he is looking for is not so much gender, but a person who will be best to counteract the force of his opposition. His opposition now is hyper-identity politics, and it's cruel and it's mean. And I think if he gets a charismatic figure like Amy Barrett, young, attractive, mother, and they unleash those tactics that they did on Kavanaugh, it won't be as effective. that he's trying to find a profile of people that will rally the country to his side and indeed the nominee's side. It just happens that that entails being, I think, a woman in this case. And then it works well that he's had two men that he's already in there and he wants it. So I'm not too worried about that because I think I know what he's saying is that I want to see, you know, Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren go after a young, attractive, charismatic justice who's had, you know, seven children, and two of them are adopted, and see if they can do what they did to Kavanaugh to her and see what the suburban mom says about this.
And if they can't accuse her of drinking beer and being a serial rapist, then we will see even more violence. Is there something, could there be a sea change if there's more violence? You said that we've seen the murders, we've seen them looting, but if it gets to a certain point, does it not have a decisional, does it not have a truly big impact on the election, Professor?
Oh, I don't think they realize they're already at that certain point, because if she is nominated and you have a quick hearing and they're out on the streets trying to destroy this woman, are angry that this competent, charismatic, qualified justice is somehow anti-constitutional, I think it's going to be a disaster for them. And people are already tired of the violence. So the idea that they're saying this woman can't be on the court, I think will boomerang. And I think they know it. And that's one part of the reason they're angry. They're angry at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They're angry at Harry Reid. They're angry at the Democratic Party for not winning the Senate back. And so that manifests itself with this hysteria. And Trump cannot listen. He cannot listen to the wobbly Republicans. He's got to
Anger never leads to good decisions. We're talking to the author of The Case for Trump, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. This is America First, back after these messages.
The night of her passing, he couldn't wait 24 hours, issued a statement saying that he was going to give Trump a vote in violation of her dying wish. People can say how appalling, people can say this is horrible, etc. But we know who this man is. We know who this man is. This is a man who does not care about a dying woman's final wish.
That was Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez talking about Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader. Strange, I presume AOC hasn't seen the video of Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying a president is president for 4 years, not 3 years, and therefore in their last year in office of a four-year term, gets to nominate Supreme Court Associate Justices. We are back with Professor Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. He is the author of The Case for Trump. Professor, do these videos, these selfie videos, do these have political impact, or are they just somebody letting off steam?
I think they do for their base. They're trying to get the base out. But other than that, everybody knows that dying wishes, with all due respect to the deceased. My mother was an appellate court judge, and all she would, when I was in high school, she would come home and say, I got another case where a dying wish is supposed to trump a probate plan or a written document or a certified public accountant's notary public or something like that. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg felt that Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016. As everybody did. So she decided in 2013 and 14, when the Democrats had the Senate and the presidency, that she was not going to step down at 82. She had beaten cancer. And then when Hillary Clinton lost, she felt apparently that she was in pretty good health and she would make it to 85 or 87, excuse me, through Donald Trump's first term, because she could have stepped down right after the election. There would have been a big fight, but maybe Barack Obama could have nominated her. I don't think he would have got it through the Senate, but nevertheless, she made a decision, and that decision was clear. So just as in, I don't know, 2016, she issued a statement and said that Merrick Garland should be appointed, even though he was supposed to replace the conservative Scalia. She didn't say, well, we have to have a conservative that would reflect Scalia's constitutionalist or original. So I just think that all of this stuff that we're talking about is just fluff, because the Constitution says the president shall nominate a judge, the Senate shall advise and consent, and that's been interpreted, rightly so, as voting on a confirmation. So I think what we're going to see, this is why people elected Donald Trump, to make a tough, quick decision. And he has to do that. He's going to nominate, I think, probably Amy Barrett or somebody of her caliber. And we're going to have a hearing, and the left is going to go wild, and they're going to think it resonates. And I have a feeling it's not sure, it's not a surety, but I have a feeling that it's not going to help them.
And just for the record, Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself was nominated and confirmed in less time than the president has now, in less than 45 days. So that's just a matter of record. We're speaking to the author of The Case for Trump, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Follow him at VD Hanson right now. In your latest piece at our favorite website, American Greatness, it's called A Woke Joe Biden Ends His Hibernation. You describe how finally it looks as if Joe Biden realizes he's running for president. My greatest fear, despite what may happen in the Senate and elsewhere, is that short of a landslide victory for the president that is incontestable when it comes to the 270 electoral college seats that are needed or votes that are needed, that we have months and months of an attempt to pull out the results, go to the courts. If that is the case, are you concerned that the fabric of the republic will be threatened in some way that we haven't seen before, in terms of the lack of respect for the mandate of the people and the 80 million mail-in ballots that are being dispersed as we speak, Professor?
Oh, absolutely. We saw it in 2000 in Florida, and we were told that George Bush was selected, not elected. There were protests. The Florida Supreme Court weighed in favor of Gore. And then months later, after it was decided, we'd hear from the New York Times investigative reporting team, you know what? Bush did win after all. And the same thing, I'm sitting in the 21st Congressional District, where David Valdeo, a Republican, won easily on Election Day by 4,000 or 5,000 votes. And we waited and waited till almost Christmas. And what happened is exactly what you described. Each week we would say, oh my gosh, a new trove of ballots appeared. And his opponent, a left-wing Democrat, won by about 600 votes. And so, yeah, we're all worried about that, and we know what they will do, because they look at Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, they look at the thin margins that Trump won last time, and they think it doesn't take more than 20 or 30,000 ballots in some of these to flip that state. My only hope is that while we will see massive fraud in New York and Illinois and California, it won't affect the Electoral College to the same degree. So the Republicans really have to focus, because they do have a few Republican governors and some majority Republican seats in the legislatures of those states. And they've got to use their clout to make sure that these swing states have some integrity in voting. But again, it's the idea, the larger philosophical issue is that the Democrats feel their agenda is not appealing to 51% of the people, and they feel that they're so much smarter and so much more ethical that this isn't fair. So whether it's mail-in balloting or packing the Supreme Court or delaying this appointment, they're going to do anything necessary because they think their means are justified by their superior ethical ends.
And then what is the worst-case scenario should the victor not be clear by the time of the inauguration? How long could we live in that purgatory?
Oh, I think it's going to have to end quicker than that. What's even scarier, one thing that we have to put into the equation, Joe Biden himself interpreted some provocative statements by four former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairmen. Remember what Dempsey and Myers and Colin Powell had said, as well as things that General Mattis has said. He interpreted that as at least that they were going to help him escort the president out of the White House. So there were, and then when we look at these unproven but nevertheless allegations in the Woodward book about an intervention, and this all follows the so-called revolt of the generals earlier about the use of federal troops, it's really scary because you get the impression that the Biden left-wing mentality is reflected among a cadre of very influential, powerful military people who think it's their ethical duty to intervene should Donald Trump, quote-unquote, lose. Lose being defined, I guess, by waiting until the last unverifiable mail ballot is sent in. That could take months. I am worried.
Incredible. We've seen the language even from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and General Mattis, language that we don't expect here, maybe in Venezuela, in a junta regime, but the concept of the military not obeying their commander-in-chief. We've been talking to the author of A Case for Trump, The Case for Trump. Buy it now. Follow him on Twitter at VD Hansen. He is Stanford University's Victor Davis Hansen. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV, and wherever you get your podcasts. Back after these messages. Thank you, Professor. There is nothing I love more than a nice, juicy American steak. Recently, I met some incredible patriots, and I would like to introduce you to my friends at GoodRanchers.com. Now you can skip the inconsistent meat aisle at the grocery store forevermore. Get the very best American meat delivered constantly right to your door. And yes, I said American. All their meat is raised and harvested right here in the U.S. of A. Good Ranchers partners with American farmers all across our great land to get the best quality meat delivered with free shipping right to your door. Go to GoodRanchers.com to choose your scheduled delivery today. 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered consistently to your home. T-bone, ribeyes, fillets, and more. Oh, porterhouse, that's my favorite. Use promo code Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, to save $20. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Gorka.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Trump Card.
And also, Mike Lindell's My Pillow, the greatest pillow you will ever rest your head on. He sold 51 million of them. They're so good the president uses them. So do I. Why? It's the only pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape, 10-year warranty. And it's just one of the incredible things he has on his website, MyPillow.com. Get up to 50% off all of his incredible products. The mattress toppers, the travel pillows, the body pillows, even the pet beds, and the Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Shad, do you have a microphone?
I do.
Do we keep promises here at America First?
To the best of our ability.
Oh, I'm going to get angry now. Do not try. You do.
But you promised not to get angry.
Did I? I don't think I ever promised that. Ever in my life do we keep our promises, Shadrach.
100% of the time, sir.
Thank you. Well done. Beatings will continue until morale increases or gets better. We said last week, and thanks to Eric, we are keeping our promises that we will give you the names of every one of those skullduggerous fake conservatives that voted with the Democrats last week to say that saying the Chinese virus or the Kung Flu is racist. God, they're such rhinos. And here they are. If this is one of your representatives, tell them what you think of them. Give them a call. Call their offices. Write them a letter. This is the list of the fake conservatives that voted with Nancy Pelosi to say, oh, you can't call it the Wuhan virus. Susan Brooks, Indiana 5. Brian Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania 1. Anthony Gonzalez, Ohio 16. Jaime Herrera Butler, Washington 3. Will Hurd, Why is he there? Isn't he Freedom Caucus? What is going on? Will Hurt, Texas, 23. John Katko, New York, 24. Michael McCall, Texas, 10. Christopher Smith, New Jersey, 4. Steve Stivers, Ohio, 15. Fred Upton, Michigan, 6. Ann Wagner, Missouri, 2. Greg Walden, Oregon, 2. Daniel Webster, Florida, 11. And lastly, the last fake conservative, Rob Woodall, Georgia, 7. If you live in their district, even if you just live in their state, tell them what you think of them. And you know the best thing? Actually write them a letter. That counts for 200 phone calls. But call them up as well and tell them they're not real conservatives. And it is the Chinese flu. Back to your calls on 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Somebody who feels hard done by because I haven't texted her back rapidly enough. Sorry, Judy, a little overwhelmed, but we get to it sooner or later. Judy in Brooklyn, line 3.
You are so funny. First of all, it's the Wu flu. Secondly,
yes.
I don't give a damn what the left wants. I do not give a damn, all right? So listen, Dr. Gorka, I know you love mathematical equations.
Yeah, right. Carry on.
So I have a political mathematical equation, but I'll give you an answer to it as well. And I also have a solution. You ready for this?
Do it.
Yes? Okay. 80 nilly-willy million mail-in ballots plus no signature comparison required plus no dated stamp necessary plus no ID equals the Dems' plan for the art of the steal. And that's not just for this election, Dr. Gorka. This is for the entire country. They're trying to steal this entire country. And I'm sick and tired. I'm fed up. And I want to propose a solution, and you tell me what you think. And I don't see why this should not happen. I honestly think that
you've got 60 seconds. You've got 60 seconds.
Okay.
What's the solution to your equation?
Here we go. Okay. Lawyers like Mark Levin, Alan Dershowitz, they're constitutional lawyers, Jay Sekulow, put in Lindsey Graham. Why not? Let him do something for a change. Jenna Ellis,
yes.
A.G. Barr, hello, wake up, A.G. Barr, and other lawyers, they should get together. They should fight all these unconstitutional maneuvers to the highest court of the land now, yesterday. Fight it. We can't have all this, you know, ballots and dead people all of a sudden voting, you know. Like, it's ridiculous. We have to fight all this. And we have to fight this, too, with the new justice. President Trump has every right to appoint a justice. And I don't give a damn what the left do. And AOC, she didn't give a damn about cheating out the waitress of her 50% tips. Do you know that?
Oh, I remember. And Amazon, the thousands of jobs that Amazon took out of New York. I love your equation, Judy, but I think there's a bigger message here. We don't care what the Democrats want. Period. After the last 4 years, after calling the man we chose as president illegitimate and a criminal, if they can impeach him or try to impeach him this year, we get to choose a Supreme Court justice, so they can just bog off, as it is said somewhere. Thank you, Judy, for a wonderful call. You've brightened up our Monday. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Be smart. If you are suffering with pain, be like Reggie. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Wow. Listen to Reggie and the tens of thousands of Americans who are getting their lives back right now with this 100% drug-free product. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and Reggie. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384.
Government has declared him essential. Sebastian Gorka.
We've got a surprise guest, but in the meantime, Linda, Albert, Robert, Andrew, Tony, don't go anywhere. question for all of you listening, millions of you out there. What is one of the greatest things in life? Isn't it a good steak? An American steak that you have grilled. Of course it is. You're a meatitarian. It comes with being an American. But did you know you can buy a steak that says American and it's not American? It was shipped here and just cut in America. Do you want to eat real American steaks? The best. Produced here in America, grown on American farms, and shipped free to your house. Of course you do! T-bone, ribeye, fillets, you name it! Go right now to goodranchers.com. Goodranchers.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A to get 20%, not 20%, $20! $20 off your order of the best, juiciest American steak delivered straight to your door. Oh, I'm salivating. Stop it, Gorka. Go to goodranchers.com right now. Promo code G-O-R-K-A for $20 off. Real American beef. GoodRanchers.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Okay, so, do you want to know how fake news works? How it really works? I have in front of me MSN.com quoting a story from the New York Times. Trump supporters sparked fears of voter intimidation after they protested outside a polling station in Virginia as early voting took place. It was the Fairfax County Government Center, and they chanted at those going to vote, and that's voter intimidation. Or is it? I know somebody who was there. I know somebody who was organizing that event. His name is Sean Rastatter. He is the vice chair of the Fairfax County GOP, and he just happens to be on the line. Sean, are you there?
I am. How are you doing, Dr. Gorka?
Good, good. But I need to know what really happened. Were you there to intimidate fellow Americans? Tell us what happened in the Commonwealth of Virginia just recently.
Absolutely. So this was some of the most ludicrous fake news that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, just a tangible example. You know, I guess the left doesn't know the difference between protests, rallies, and riots. They call everything mostly peaceful. This was absolutely a rally.
So you went there. Did you burn any buildings down? Did you loot any property from the county offices?
As much as I'm sure MSDNC would love to say that we did that, no, absolutely. It was all entirely peaceful, and it was a very upbeat event, very peaceful rally.
Well, you've sent us the police report, but for those who haven't seen it, what was the purpose of you gathering there, and what did you in fact do instead of voter intimidation?
Absolutely. So this was one of those Trump trains, you know. We have those about once a month. We brought out RNC coach, Mr. Tommy Hicks, who was there with the Republican Party Virginia chair, Mr. Rich Anderson, a couple other big-name speakers. You know, we had 400 cars, about Mr. Truck, about 60 motorcycles. We drove the Fairfax County Government Center to let people know about early voting. And, you know, unbeknownst to us, there were a couple reporters there who were saying that we were protesting early voting, which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. Republicans want people to vote early and in person. So it's just absurd. These news articles came all across the country saying that Trump supporters were disrupting early voting. And then these claims about voter intimidation, which I think is a very serious claim. And when you make fake claims about voter intimidation, it harms the integrity of that claim in actual cases.
No, absolutely. And I don't think your group chanting 4 more years counts as voter intimidation, because that's all you did. You had the stars and stripes. You said 4 more years and you kept the required distance outside of the polling center, correct?
That's correct. And there's another component to this story, Dr. Worker. The fact that they called the police in suppression of First Amendment rights, the folks that were there on call for it, the report said, we weren't blocking any polling station. These are the same folks that want to defelonize assault on police officers and want to defund the police. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, we're losing you, but the point is very clear. They called the police on you to attack your First Amendment rights at the same time that they're calling to defund the police. That is an example of fake news in real time. If you are voting for the president, down ticket GOP, vote in person. Whether you're doing it early or not, it is essential to vote in person and don't listen to the fake news. Thank you, Sean. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Let's go straight to your calls. Let's go to Linda in Los Angeles, who's been waiting very patiently. Welcome, Linda.
Yes, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. You're not on Town Hall TV. You want to be incognito?
I'm on YouTube. I'm on YouTube with 3,000 videos and 13 million views. I'm not sure that's quite incognito.
I know what you look like. Anyway, putting Kitty aside, I listen to talk radio almost every day, and I enjoy it very much. I especially enjoy your show. And it's discouraging to hear, when the words are spoken that what if the Democrats win? And let me tell you something. On President Trump's inauguration day, his birth year, month, and day was the same as the Jewish year. The Orthodox Jews were jumping up and down in Israel on that day.
They were very happy here as well, Linda.
Yes, yes. And my belief is that nothing will come against God's will. But we must agree with him. And our words are very powerful. Our words are very powerful. And, Joe Biden said it himself that it's all about power. It's all about power. And he's biting at the bit that he cannot nominate the replacement Ginsburg.
Let's be very clear here, Linda. God doesn't have a political party, but he is on the side of truth. And when one political party is not only fine with, but wishes to see more children murdered in the womb, more than 30 million since Roe v. Wade, you know that they're not on the side of truth. God bless you, Linda. Thank you for your patience. God's will is unstoppable, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a job to do. It is up to us for the next 42 days. You have to ask yourself in the morning, what am I doing for the president today? And at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, did I do it? Because the fate of the republic is before us. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back to your calls in a moment. We are broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Next, we're going to have Matt Gaetz and Waleed Faris in studio. But first, if you are in pain today, if you have not found relief from anything else, please, please go to ReliefFactor.com. Don't listen to me. Listen to the incredible video testimonials from Americans across the country who are getting their lives back with this product that attacks the source of the pain, which is your inflammation. And then just take the step. Find out for yourself if you could be the next success story. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know without a shadow of a doubt if it works for you like it works for me and all of your fellow Americans who are taking it. Call them on 800-500-8384 or go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. You've waited long enough. 800-500-8384. You deserve to find out. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Good Ranchers.
And she said, he has no idea where he is, but I would never say it. I won't say it. I refuse. No, but don't underestimate him. Look, he's been doing this for 47 years. And I got a debate coming up with this guy. No, it's not. You never know. You never know. They give him a big fat shot in the ass and he comes out. And for 2 hours, he's better than ever before. You know? The problem is, what happens after that? Nah, we're going to ask for a drug test. We are. I'd like to have a drug test. Both of us. I'll take it. He'll take it.
It's essential we've got to have a drug test before the debates. That was the president at his last rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I don't think we've had anybody with quite that chutzpah since Teddy. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt maybe was the last, and it's just so much fun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Did you know that that great lover of America, Dinesh D'Souza, has a new film? His films make a political difference. It's called Trump Card, and it's an expose of the socialism, corruption, and gangsterism that defines the Democrat Party. Whether it's the creeping socialism of Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, or the rest of the squad, the film reveals what's unique about modern socialism. You can watch it today at trumpcard.com or pre-order the video on demand and the DVD. Don't miss Dinesh's new movie. You can get it right now at trumpcard.com. That's trumpcard.com. Back to your calls. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Welcome, Andrew.
Yeah, it's definitely great. Trump has charisma, and he's not a stuffed shirt. I think people respect him for being honest, not just funny, but being
But don't you think that's why he was elected, Andrew? Because he's genuine. He's genuine.
Right, and in his business background, and he's not on the take. He's not getting rich off the people like Biden and Hillary. You know, he got rich legitimately in the private sector. But I want to ask about the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Supposedly the granddaughter of Ruth Ginsburg said that her grandmother's dying wish was that the appointee to take her place, to replace her, is after the election, which sounds fabricated, but either way, even if it's a true story, that means that the Supreme Court justice last wish is not to follow the Constitution, the irony of that.
I think that's a perfect point, Andrew. Whether or not it happened, I agree with you, Andrew. I tend to doubt the reports. They're not corroborated. Maybe in a lack of lucidity at the end of her life, she said something like that. But the great irony is, that's not the constitutional response. As Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself said just a few years ago, a president is elected for 4 years, not three. He doesn't lose his powers to nominate. In the fourth year of his presidency, that is the irony. Great call. Thank you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, we're back on Town Hall TV, but we're on YouTube too. Subscribe today. Back with Matt Gaetz and Waleed Faris. And don't forget, this episode of our podcast is sponsored by our good friends at GoodRanchers.com, American Steaks. Do good. Eat good.